This is Phil Pritchett. Welcome to the P2 Podcast.
There's never been a better time than right now to be a musician. Giddy hit Austin. My name's Phil, and I just want to play rock and roll, man.
Tougher than the rest.
Not far from here, it's not far away, but if you come, I know a place where we'll be alone, and we'll talk of life and the way love used to be.
Vans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. It is Phil Pritchett with you on the P2 Podcast, broadcasting to you in beautiful high-definition audio or something quite like it from the cozy confines of Trinidad World Recording Studios. My studio here in Fort Worth, Texas. Envision it out there, musicians, won't you? Close your eyes. The rugs, the wood on the walls, the vintage guitars and drums. Ah, the smell of coffee right outside my door. The cold air outside. Ah, picture it, envision it, love it. And then just know that in reality, it's just that much more. It's just a little more. Well, we're here as always, folks, to enlighten your musical life. Talk about what we have been doing. What is to come. Talk about this crazy business that we're in. This crazy life indeed. Thrilled you're with us, folks. Thrilled, just as I am every week, to be with you here. What a great show we have for you here today, folks. Man, oh man, you know who's here today? Second segment, interview, our old friend Chance Ryan Brentham. You're thinking, whoa, excuse you, Phil, what'd you just say? That's right, Chance Ryan Brentham. You remember him, filmmaker extraordinaire. Go check the register, man. On the all-new p2podcast.com, you can go back and look at and listen to every episode and a description of everything we've ever done on this show. Check your references. Check the sources. I can't remember what episode this was. But Chance came on making a documentary, making a film about the enigmatic, the great drummer, Clint Rippey. Who is Clint Rippey? You've seen stuff on the website, the trailers, the photos of Clint, symbolic. I've got a role in this movie. Clint played a couple shows with me at several over the years, but he played recently down near San Antonio at a show there. So there's a little clip. I'm in a little clip in the trailer. They're interviewing Jack Ingram and Pat Green's in it. All kinds of fun stuff. Clint Rippey. So we're going to catch up with Chance, man. He's been in New York hanging out with Alicia Keys' band in Nashville, hanging out with all sorts of folks there who are interested in the film and interested in going on the record, going on the film, talking about the greatness of Clint Rippey, this artist that we everyone so admires. Finally, a film being made about him. Very interesting stuff. So check that out. Chance will be here in our second segment. Catching up with him, talking about the movies. Man, oh man, are you like me? Are you thrilled the Beatles are on iTunes? Everyone knows I love the Beatles, okay? I love the Beatles, but man, they're whipping my ass these days. Every year, and it's always this time, right around Christmas. See, they've gotten savvy over the years, the Beatles. And they just show up, man, about every November, October, man, there's a big Beatles thing. Something you've never seen or heard in your life from the Beatles. I thought I'd heard it all, man, after they broke up in 1970. No! No! Evidently not. They were holding out on us. See, now the Beatles have figured out that you can be on iTunes. It's amazing. So the Beatles are everywhere. My thought was, man, who's going to go buy it? I know they've been in the top Beatles downloads and stuff for iTunes. All the albums, they're up there because it's new. But, man, I converted my Beatles catalog to my iTunes deal long ago. I don't know. I guess people are still out there downloading. And to make matters more interesting, I have some extraordinary audio I'm going to be playing for you here in a minute. Because I'm living in a, you know, you think Phil, you tune to the show, no doubt. Phil, you're out there. You know what's going on. You're at the front lines, fighting the daily battle of the indie guy out there, raising a family, playing music, trying to make it all work. What does it all mean? Where's it all headed, man? I wish I could tell you. And sometimes I'm certain, but I'm very uncertain today. You're listening to a man who is full of doubt, of trepidation, and wonder over some voicemails I got on my answering machine phone. Now, the quality is not very good on these, and this comes on the heels. This is back a little ways, a couple days before this Beatles thing came out, the iTunes thing. And the press was leaking stuff, you know, about, hey, man, the Beatles going to be in iTunes tomorrow. And, man, I'm a huge Beatles fan, and I didn't care. But anyway, you know, talk about the Beatles whipping my ass by being everywhere. Wait till you hear these voice machines, man. I don't know who this is, or, you know, I start to think, man, that's a very, that can't be. That doesn't sound anything like him. And there's other times where I'm thinking, could it, this is real. This is real. And now I've never really run across the people in these voice messages. Oh, man. So I just imagine my surprise as I check my voicemail. Yeah, I woke up in the morning and I had a couple of voicemails that I didn't hear. Well, hold on. I'm going to try to get on the... I'm going to try to set it up here where you can hear it. Where you can hear what's on my phone here. Now, I'm just going to kind of hold the phone up here to the mic. And you tell me what you think, man, because I am confused. I don't know what's going on. The first time I listened to it, I didn't know what to think. And then other things began to happen. Well, this is what I heard on my voice machine a couple weeks ago. See what you think. See if you can figure it out. Here it goes.
1, 2, 3, 4! It's Phil. Morning, morning. Your old friend Paul McCartney, I'm calling from London, UK. We're sort of trying to get Beatles music on the internet, on the web. Did you listen to the Beatles on your computer or something like that? We used to listen to Beatle music on our turntables. That's still the only thing I ever had, you know. But they want to use my song Yesterday, all my... You know what I'm talking about, right? I woke up in the morning singing that song. I went to George and Ringo. I said, man, what song is that, then? Some show tune or something like that. He said, no, I think you wrote it, man. I thought, what? I'm going to remember that one. I thought, Yesterday. So they want to put music for the Beatles on this Apple. I don't know how to work it. I bought one of these computer screens with the keyboard, and I can't turn it on. What are you going to help me with it? I was looking at your presentation there on the telly on your website. Saw lots of music on there. P2 tunes, was it? We want to put music like that up for the Beatles, man. But Ringo, he doesn't know how to turn on a computer. So, Ringo, you've got to get you a computer. He said, oh, no, I don't need a computer. But I was just trying to get your thoughts on that, you know, see how to progress on that. So, call me back, Chappie, when you get a chance. Cheerio.
Needless to say, I freeze, I shudder, and I'm, you know, of course I'm telling myself, wait a minute, who is this? This is a bit, this is a gag. And then I think, well, I don't know, it's one of the guys playing a joke on me or something. Cunningham, my good friend Wes Cunningham, always talking about the Beatles and stuff. Oh man, so I don't think much of it. I got another message on here. So I get to the next message, and things get weirder, dude. Ringo?
I get by with a little help from my friends, Phil. It's your old friend Ringo, man. You remember me from the Beatles. Well, Paul's been calling me. He wants to know if we should put Beatles songs on the computer, man. I don't own a computer. I don't know the first thing about even turning one on. But I guess I need to get me one, they say, to put the Beatles on Apple iTunes. Our old company was called Apple. It was very confusing. Very confusing. I'd like to be under the sea in an octopus's garden in the shade. You know, they only used to let me put one song of me singing on any Beatle record. But they were all splendid chaps. We loved each other very much. Just call me. I'm sure Paul has already called. Trying to figure out what to do about all the music of the Beatles and putting it on the computer screen. So call me back. Cherry, old chap.
Oh, it's Ringo, man. So now I'm thinking, well, that, you know, Paul, who, you know, somebody must have just given me. Someone's playing me as a chump. McCartney, I'm like, whatever. Then all of a sudden, here's Ringo, man. He also wants to know. See, listen, let me tell you what. Listen up out there, folks. You already know this because you listen to this show. But who's out there on the cutting edge of music, making music available digitally for their fans everywhere? If you want it at a cheap price, there it is. Well, that's what I've always tried to do, you know. Make it available, I say. If you can get a little something for it, fine. But if people are just stealing it, whatever, that's all good if they like the music. So, you know, those Beatles, man, they're not stupid. They knew who to call. They knew who to call. I don't know who tipped them off on what we were doing down here in Texas. So there it is, man. Well, by this time, I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. What? Ringo. Man, is he still drinking? He sounded a little drunk. I guess I started looking at my watch. When it was earlier there. I mean, it was the middle of the night over there or the next morning or whatever, in London. I don't know where they're calling me from. So I'm just scratching my head. And yeah, I just woke up and I'm checking these messages. They came in, you know, over the night. And I'm thinking, man, you know, what is going on? Who got a hold of all this information to call Phil, the music downloading expert or something? Well, just when it can't get any stranger, man, I got one more third message. I'm like, well, it can't be Lennon. And then George, the poor guys, they've already passed on, surely. It's not going to be one of those guys. I don't know. So this is what I hear, man. It's freaking Jagger, man. What? You tell me.
Talk about the midnight game. Hello, Phil. Phil, what is doing, man? It's Mick. It's Mick from over here. I'm in a hotel room in Paris, man. What is going on over there in America? What is going on? You know, everyone's always talking about the Beatles on iTunes. You're talking about the Beatles, talking about it, man. And I don't get it. The Rolling Stones have been on iTunes. We were already on the computer, man. People could listen to you on the computer. People talking about computers. Talking about computers, man. And everyone, and I go by the store the other day. And, you know, they got the big picture of Paul and John. All looking lovely. Lovely guys, all of them, you know. But, you know, the Rolling Stones have been on computers for a long time now. No one's making a big deal. No one's making a big deal of the Rolling Stones being on iTunes, you know. And now there's all this stuff about the Beatles, man. Everywhere I go, there's Beatles, Beatles. Where's the Rolling Stones, man? You know, the Rolling Stones were on there. You know what I'm talking about. You know, Phil, because you know the Rolling Stones. I know you like the Beatles more, but I can't believe it, man. Everyone's talking about computers. Computers for the Beatles. Computers for the Beatles, man. Come on, man, the Rolling Stones were there first, you know. You may put it all on there first, and now the Beatles, man. Well, hey, give me a call back. Next time you're in Paris, call me. I'm sitting here, you know, laying here with my wife. We're having a lovely time here in Paris. And when you're in town, just come on out, mate. You know what I mean. Come on out, man. All right.
British rock royalty on the Pizzu podcast. Calling Pizzu at all hours of the night. Just trying to find that inside track. You know, these old guys, man, they don't know much about computers. They don't know how to turn it on. You think these guys know how to work an iPod or an iPhone or something like that? Hell no. They're clueless, man. They're clueless to this whole deal. These guys are from the old guard. It's kind of like hearing a voice beckoning from the back ages, from the dark ages, from the Renaissance that occurred, you know, back there in the 60s. But there they are, man. Oh, believe what you want to believe. Believe what you want to believe on that stuff. But as for me, man, I can already tell you, I just took my phone with all the information on it. I saved all the messages, all the information. I just put it out of order. I just put it in a little shelf right there in a little stand. One day I'll take it out again and listen to the messages, but I'm not going to carry it around. I'm not going to use it. It's just, this is the phone that I heard from these great idols of mine on for the first time. It's here in a case at Trinidad World Recording. Now when you come to Trinidad World Recording, I give you the tour. I show you Pete Cotney's drums and the guitars and the beautiful studio we have here. Buy you a chicken fried steak across the street at the restaurant. Now I can show you my cell phone that not only have I booked a lot of shows on and had a lot of great conversations, but man, the Beatles themselves and Mick Jagger, the Stones, blew me up on that phone right there behind the glass. Blew me up to all hours of the night right before the Beatles on an iTunes. Man, hot opinions there from the Stones and the Beatles. Extraordinary. Well, speaking of other hot opinions, man, we're going to catch up with my old friend Chance Ryan Brentham about his movie, Who is Clint Rippey?, about the enigmatic great drummer Clint Rippey. Guy's been all over the world filming footage and interviews of people talking about him. It's all very, very exciting. He's going to be joining us here in our next segment. Chance Ryan Brentham, stay tuned. Next.
I know a place not far away, and we'll find a way through the city streets. We'll find a way through the mad rushing crowd, and we'll talk about the way love used to be.
Fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. It is Phil Pritchett here on the Pete Sue Podcast, broadcasting to you in beautiful high-definition audio, or something quite like it, from beautiful Trinidad World Recording Studios, my studio here in Fort Worth. Well, 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 as promised, he is here with us today for our guest segment on the podcast. Chance Ryan Brentham, musician, filmmaker, artist. You know and love him from his previous appearance on the podcast, talking about the fascinating film he's putting together, a documentary about the great, mysterious drummer, avant-garde artist, Clint Rippey. You've seen a lot of stuff on the website about Clint. Clint has played some shows with Phil Pritchett and the full band, with Pat Green, Jack Ingram, others. And he's out there, man, so much great feedback on the Clint Rippey movie. Thanks for being here today, Chance, for dropping by the studio.
Thanks for having me.
Excellent. Well, man, I'm dying to know what the latest is with the film. Where can people go see the film, the clip? You've got a new trailer up.
Right. It's whoisclintrippey.com. That's the title of the film.
And the original one, they've probably seen the original trailer, got a lot of feedback
right.
from people watching it. But there's a new one, like with the symbolic. You've done a re-edit. There's
right.
a separate trailer. So fans, go check out that, the new Clint Rippey trailer. There's some extra, it's all different footage and stuff
exactly.
going on. How does it stand right now? What's the latest?
Well, since we talked last, we've been on the road following Clint. Clint's one of those artists that you get when you get him.
And, yeah, yeah.
Skins, his drum tech, will give us a call and say, hey.
Wait a minute, he has his own drum tech?
Yeah, Skins has been with him for years.
Does he pedal the bike for him or something? What does the Clint's drum tech do? He must lead an interesting life.
He does. He's been with Clint since the late 90s when uh-huh. Clint did his performance art piece in New York
uh-huh.
at the Bottom Line, or the upstairs of the Bottom Line. And Skins actually is kind of his go-to guy.
Right.
I mean, when you want to talk to Clint, he's his day-to-day handler, his drum tech, his best mm-hmm. friend.
For people maybe who maybe missed the last episode, Clint Rippey is a drummer, avant-garde artist. Does not speak much or at all. He has Asperger's. Is that a syndrome?
It is. He's kind of undiagnosable.
Right.
That makes sense. He has elements of every kind of awkward social disease.
Yes, that you disorder can, of some disorder, sort.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
In fact, I was hoping that the doctor, Darren Hicks, who's been helping Clint in therapy, could be here today. He couldn't be here, but... Clint is one of those characters that, I don't know, you can't put him in a label, you can't put him in a box.
Right.
And the whole thing about him not talking has been speculated that he's a prude and he just doesn't like people, and or that he's a mute, he can't make sound. Pat Green, when we were interviewing him, he said, you know, he's been on the road with me for I don't know how many years. And
right.
I've only heard him mutter things.
Yeah, and, not say a whole lot. Pat makes an appearance in the latest trailer I saw.
Yeah, he had a lot of insight.
Pat, always available for a quote,
exactly.
You know, some insight.
Pat gave us a lot of insight to Clint on the road.
On the bus. And just, I didn't realize he played as much with Pat.
Clint is
on and off, I guess, through the years. Yeah, yeah.
He's definitely a sideman. But yeah. In fact, Pat Green even said in one of the interviews, it's not in the trailer, but it will be in the film, that, you know, there's times that Clint will show up and they're about to go on the road and they already have another drummer.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, you know, we have to fire that drummer because
it's
Clint. I mean, you're not going to fire Clint.
If he can go, that's who you take out there.
And everybody that plays with these artists know that about Clint. In fact, we were in New York in September, early September. Clint was in New York, and Skins called and said he's going to be in New York if you guys want to follow him around.
So Skins, the drum tech, he'll kind of tip you off maybe a little bit. It's kind of say, man, yeah, here's what we're doing. Here's what's going on.
Right. And once
tomorrow might be a good day or might not be a good day for y'all to come around, kind of thing.
And once we gained Clint's respect and his trust.
How has he responded to the filming? Has he been pretty accommodating?
Right.
Pretty comfortable?
Darren Hicks, the therapist, he talked to Clint about it and explained to him that, you know, we're not there to attack him. We're not there to figure him out.
Sure.
We're there just to capture him and present him in a real, just who he is.
Right.
And not to categorize him, just to let him be himself. Present the true Clint, because that's the problem with society, is that we've never seen the true Clint.
So what was he doing in New York?
Was he playing?
Was this the Alicia Keys deal?
Yes, he played with Alicia Keys band, and it was one of those kind of things that everywhere he went, he would show up and unannounced. And as a film director, I'm thinking,
so you have your camera with you, just kind of
following him.
Yeah, right.
And as a film director, I'm thinking, I need to have, you know, release forms. I need to have this where we're going. But with Clint, you can't.
You don't know where you're going to be. So is your policy just to sort of shoot and then afterward go to the store guy and say, hey, we might use this footage to sign off on something?
And so we follow him into this rehearsal. Alicia Keys' band, and they're in rehearsal for this gig, and Clint walks in. Well, of course, the band knows him. The drummer knows to get up and get out of the way.
Right.
And Clint sits down and he plays a few songs and then he's gone.
Yeah.
And we talked to Andre.
Did you get some footage of that?
We did.
We
had the whole thing. And it's awkward. I mean, you see people's faces like, here comes the, it'd be like Miles Davis coming in.
Just kind of wandering in and
playing and leaving.
Playing God Save the King on a trumpet. And
right.
He'd be like, wow. And then he leaves.
And Henri Gill, the music director, he was even talking to us about the fact that, you know, when Clint does that often, and everybody's used to it. Some of the young guys aren't used to it, and it scares the crap out of them.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's Clint, and what can you do with that?
Well, what's the biggest hurdle? What's the next phase? I mean, you've just accumulated this massive footage, of course, editing, music, post-production. What's the biggest mountain to climb, so to speak, to get the film finished and for, you know, for release of some kind?
Well, we're to the point that we're seeing, I made a pact with myself and my crew that we would not finish this film until we saw Clint becoming okay with society.
Right.
And we're actually at a very interesting point where Clint has been approached his entire career for endorsements through companies.
Yeah.
And he's rejected it.
Uh-huh.
Because he's a pure artist.
Sure.
He feels like
that's not why he does it.
Right. And he feels like these companies are after him to get money.
To exploit him in some way.
Exactly.
Sure.
And so Clint is actually, Skins is encouraged him and, you know, convinced him that these companies aren't after him, that they purely respect him. And we have everybody from Shure Microphones to Bosra Cymbals, Crushed Drums, Regal Tip Sticks, Aquarian drum heads.
Right.
That have been after him for years, and they're finally to a point where Clint's like, okay.
So will we see Clint's picture maybe showing up in on websites or advertisements?
If Clint allows it.
Yeah,
and
right,
it always comes down to...
He has total control of his image.
He completely does.
Yeah.
And, I mean, clearly. I mean, look at
sure.
the guy. Or does he have control of it?
Who knows? That's the whole question.
But those are the artists or the companies that... have respected him from a distance.
Uh-huh.
Those are actually some of the instruments that he already plays, that
right.
he already uses. So it's a good fit.
It's a good fit.
And those are the kind of things that we're starting to see Clint do that we go, okay, he's warming up to society.
Right.
He's not building this wall anymore. And we're starting to see that. So if he continues this road, I can see us being done soon, but it honestly, from the beginning, it's always been whenever Clint is ready. And we've been very blessed to have companies like Southwest Airlines, who are huge Clint fans, come in.
Oh, come on.
I mean, well, I said, okay, I need to have a budget, and I don't have a budget that can take care of a 4 or 5 year film.
Sure.
And so I started approaching companies like Southwest, Equinox, underwater housings, because we have all this underwater stuff. We didn't have the money to buy the underwater housing. And it's astonishing that people are just coming out of the blue to support this film because they realize that it's an artist that needs to not be exploited, but needs to be explained.
Right, right.
And
brought to light.
Exactly.
You're listening to the P2 Podcast with Phil Pritchett talking to Chance Ryan Brentham, musician, filmmaker, artist, talking about his movie, Who is Clint Rippey, the great mythological figure, drummer that we talked about on a previous podcast. Did I see recently that Clint played a show, was it in Las Vegas, with Jack Ingram? And was that right? Did I hear that correctly?
It was.
How did that come about?
Well, he's been playing with Jack for years.
On and off, right.
Right. In fact, we interviewed Mitch Marine, who was now Dwight Yoakam's drummer. Mm-hmm. But he was
Jack Ingram makes several appearances. Even in the trailers online, you'll see Jack talking about Clint
exactly.
being interviewed. Yeah.
Mitch even talked about the early days of Clint when he would sit in with Jack and Pete Coatney, of course.
Sure.
The
podcast's own Pete Coatney. We know and love him.
He has was actually the way that we got to Clint. We started looking at the bands that Clint played with and Pete, of course, Clint would sub
knew
for
him.
Right. And
is that what the Vegas thing was? A sub? I mean,
Pete could make it,
so he just...
Of course, they called, and they knew that we were doing the film. Skins had... of course, we'd interviewed
So Clint shows up. I doubt seriously that Clint has listened to Ingram's recent material. He probably has no... and he probably doesn't maybe remember or draw much from his previous experience with Jack. I'm guessing here. You can fill in the blanks a little bit more. So I just have this image of Clint just emerging. He just materializes on stage in Las Vegas. Here's Ingram. He's on some tour or whatever. He's got a set list. But Clint hasn't even looked at the set list. He just gets up there, and he just intuitively starts to lead the band. Is that kind of how this whole thing takes place? That's how he did with our shows.
Right.
And so it's hard for me to look at you'll see your own Phil Pritchett in some of the in the trailer with Clint playing with us. But our deal's sort of loosey-goosey. You know, we're playing small. So someone like Jack or somebody who's on tour who's got kind of a light setting and stuff like that, I'm like, how does Clint play into that
sure.
just to get up there? Because they've got more of a scripted element a certain amount of time. Things got to be in the same order kind of thing.
Sure.
So how does Clint fit into that? Such a loose guy fit into kind of the constraints of maybe a slick country show?
Well, we were in Nashville. We followed Clint in Nashville, and we asked a lot of the artists, Brian White, Pam Tillis, Janice Ian, these questions. John McBride, sure. Martina McBride's husband.
Blackbird Studios, exactly. Legendary place, yeah.
We asked every one of them that question. What do you do when Clint
shows up
and he plays right. the wrong groove on the wrong song?
Yeah.
One of the artists said, you know, Clint is the only drummer that I know that can play a samba over a country swing and it work. And, you know, we see him do this time and time again when we interview him.
Right.
But let me ask you, like, mm-hmm. you have some very specific parts in your music that I've listened to. And what do you do when he comes in and he does, say, a heavy metal groove
right.
over something that's supposed to
we
be a song?
We did several songs. Well, yeah, we'll just kind of have a I'm just more forgiving about it.
Right.
We just have a looser, more of a rock and roll. We can do kind of more of a jam band kind of deal. And so I'm willing to just kind of get up there and see what he starts to do. And I go, man, he's kind of doing this Latin thing. Let's throw Maria on top of this. And I'll start playing the leading chords and blue on the bass. He'll kind of nod. And we'll just go. And Clint kind of leads the set. I don't sit there telling him, hey, look at my foot, or here's where we're ending the song.
Right.
I'm watching him. I sing, I play, I turn back, I look at him. I see where he
sure.
is. So I just wonder.
Well, a lot of the
in
artists,
these country settings, they're a little they're slicker, they're synchronized lights and stuff like that. I just wonder if that kind of threw Jack and the boys for a bit of a loop, having Clint
well,
back there. You know,
again, he's played with Jack for so long.
Yeah,
Jack's
right. Since the A-Dares days,
he's
coming in playing.
Oh yeah. And so he's used to it. Brian White said a very interesting thing. He said, you know, Clint, the first time, because one of Clint's mm-hmm. notorious things is he'll get up and walk off. And we're starting to realize there's scientists actually doing studies about Clint's playing. We have a group of scientists trying to figure out, you know,
if it's mathematical or something.
It's mathematical.
Or, and
it's
a logarithm of or something like that.
Right, right. He has a thing with numbers. He actually has a thing with numbers.
Well, yeah, it's time signatures. And
but not even that. Like, he's got specific, and I can't even understand it, grasp it, but he's got a thing that everything has to end in an odd number. Like, for instance, this serial number on the microphones that he uses has to be a certain number and end in an odd number. I've failed math, so I'm terrible at math. But
hear about like guitar players like Eric Johnson have a lot of stuff like that.
Right.
But Clint.
And
he has his own realm of folklore, mystique around. There's a purpose to everything he's doing.
There's a purpose. And so when he gets up and walks off, again, it's perception.
Mm-hmm.
When somebody gets up and walks off a set, mm-hmm. what do you think? You think, well, that guy's a jerk.
Yeah, right.
And
he must be angry or something.
Right. And I for example, we were filming him one time playing with, I guess it was Pat Green, and mm-hmm. he had actually showed up late.
Mm-hmm.
And he was playing, and he got up within a minute and walked off the stage.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked these artists, every artist that has played with him, I've asked them the question, what do you do with that? And they say, he's done.
What can you do? Yeah.
What can you do? But one of the things that Brian White said that fascinated me is he said, you know, Clint, by doing that, when he's done, he's done.
Mm-hmm.
And he does what he does when he does it. Because of that, it's inspired me to be that kind of artist.
Someone who just finishes at unexpected times.
And it goes into business.
I'd love to see Brian White just in the middle of a verse just stand up and walk off the stage.
Well,
that's influenced by Clint Ritter.
He actually said in one of his interviews, I wish I had the cojones to do that.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
You know, but we're so concerned about
what other people will think.
Other people think.
Right.
Exactly.
I've played many shows where I'm just like, I can't
believe
I'm playing this song. I'm done. I'm exhausted. I feel like I've done everything.
Right.
But there's a few people up front screaming for one song. I don't want to disappoint them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want them going away. Oh, Phil wouldn't play, you know, whatever song.
Right.
So I'm always out there. And it's not, maybe Clint, it's not that he doesn't want to, he just doesn't have, pleasing people is not part of why he does what he does.
Well,
and of course, for so many of us, it is, as much as we maybe don't want to admit it.
I was talking to Alan Pepper, who's the owner of The Bottom Line.
Uh-huh.
And we are headed to New York the 1st of January to interview him and talk more about the film. But he said a very interesting thing on the phone, because I said, you know, Clint does that. And in his performance artwork, mm-hmm. he's notorious for sometimes not even showing up.
Right.
And or coming on, playing one hit and leaving. And he said, you know, there's two artists that have come through my clubs that have done this. Mm-hmm. Miles Davis and Clint Rippey.
Yeah.
And he tells a story about Miles Davis where he was the first one to do this before Clint came on. And he said, you know, Miles Davis came out, played, I think it was 15 minutes.
Right.
And he walked off the stage.
Yeah.
And he said, my business partner went back to his manager and he was ripping him a new one, saying,
yeah. What's going on?
This audience paid, you know, $50+ to see this. We've got 400 people out there and your artist is... got to get out there and finish
upsetting
the set.
Upsetting everyone. Yeah, that's right.
And his tour manager looks at him and he said, he's done.
Yeah.
Miles isn't going to go back out. And he said, but they've paid their money. And he said, yeah, and it was worth it.
That's right.
That was the best 15 minutes of their life.
Alan
told me that he even went out to the audience and said, guys, I'm sorry, Miles Davis isn't coming back out. Your money is completely refunded. Go to the box mm-hmm. office. Mm-hmm. And he said, Chance, you know, not one person came and asked for their money back. In fact, we had a majority of the people come back to the office and or the box office and say, why would I pay money for that? That was perfect.
Yeah.
And he said, because of Miles, he said, it trained me for mm-hmm. Clint. Mm-hmm. And so when Clint would do that, I realized that Clint was trying to make the audience observant of one note or of a tone or
a sound
of silence,
the way something
and it wasn't a shtick, it wasn't an avant-garde I'm gonna try to be hip, it was pure and the reasoning behind it was art and pure art. And so these artists have got that from him. David Wilcox even said you know, Clint does what I would do in my last concert.
Yeah.
He's if I didn't care about money, if I didn't
he's
care about
summing it up.
He said I would be that artist, not care.
Yeah.
And I think that's Clint. It's not that he doesn't care, it's that he cares
so much. That's right.
Right.
Well, Chance Ryan Brentham is here, folks, talking about his fascinating documentary, Who is Clint Rippey? Fascinating work, catching us up on all things Clint Rippey. Well, next week Chance will be back to discuss more about the filming, more about the enigma that is Clint Rippey. I'll share some of my thoughts on him. Always fascinating. This is great podcast talk when we're talking about Clint, talking about the film. So exciting. Things just happening all the time. More footage, more situations, more people brought into the film. So stay tuned for that next week. Coming up, I will blindfold myself and stagger through the dark to the vault, to the rack of vinyl records here at Trinidad, put my hands on a record, then I will play it, and we'll talk about it in the vault. Next.
Take one.
Okay.
Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. It is Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast, coming to you from Trinidad World Recording Studios, my studio here in Fort Worth, Texas. Come record here. Let's make a record together. 817-733-5256. Or shoot me an email, phil@philpritchett.com. Man, a lot of great X tracks coming in here to record, including yours truly, Phil, here. How you doing? Our old friend Seth Jones is coming back, going to be recording here at the studio. Our old friends Kelly Cordova and the whole shooting match down there in Orange, Texas. How you boys doing, Kelly? They'll be in here recording this month. Fantastic. That's where we went and played New Year's and fired the cannon and all that good stuff. Great people. Rock and roll. It's going to be great. And then we've got, a whole bunch of guys. Brian Joyner coming in. A guy I recently met. He's going to be in here recording. Kicking it off in February. We got time, laying around here and there. Email me, Phil at PhilPritchard.com. Come record. Well, after getting a phone call from Sir Paul McCartney himself, or someone claiming to be so, I thought, man, in the vault, we got to do a little McCratney, McCaw, Sir Paul. So, man, his first solo record, I think this is his first solo record, or maybe his second, Ram. Dude, what a weird, great album this is. After his Beatles days, man, Paul just got married to Linda Eastman, got like 68, 69, kind of the end of the Beatles thing. And man, he just sort of became a domesticated guy. He bought a ranch in Scotland or somewhere, grew a beard, and did all the things Kurt South would do. Grew a beard, drank heavily, and just walked around with a big coat on. All the great stuff we always talk about in the podcast. McCartney did it, man. That's where I get a lot of this stuff. And, I think it was his first solo deal was just McCartney. And, he was really broken up over the whole Beatles situation, man. Bad business, everything breaking up around then, 1970. Bad business blood. He was just drunk up there in Scotland recording ball by himself. Well, this is Ram. He's a little more gotten it back together a little bit. Fun, bizarre stuff. He's playing all the instruments on most of these tracks, I believe. Including this one. Now, this next one, you heard Ram on there at the top of this segment. This next one I just love, man. Too Many People. I just love how it comes in here and then just rocks. Too Many People. Paul McCartney on the P2 Podcast.
Thank you.
Now, in recent years, of course, Paul married that lady. What was her name? She is missing the leg. She was an activist, you know. They got divorced. It was a nasty deal. Nasty divorce for Paul. But man, for the longest time in music, man, he was seen as one of the only, maybe the only rock guys who was just faithful to his wife. And he famously, Linda, and they were married for, gosh, you know, 25, 30 years before she died of breast cancer several years ago. But, you know, he was just upheld as like, man, he's the one guy out there who doesn't, you know, go screwing around. He's faithful, man. He's an honorable man. And, man, I just always admired him so much for that because, you know, everyone's like, oh, man, if you're famous and rich, you're just going to do all kinds of bad things. And maybe Paul has, you know, who knows. But at least his reputation was one of a devoted father. I think by all accounts, man, the children they had have all done well for themselves, kind of kept out of the limelight. They're not on reality shows. You know, there's Paul McCartney's kids, man. They're all going to rehab, you know, or some garbage. So Paul, man, he always had a lot of integrity in my book. And I always loved him for it. The Beatles were kind of like my uncles growing up. Like, there were pictures of them all over my house. My mom adored them. She always tell me stories about them. It was like my uncles, you know, Uncle George, Uncle Ringo, you know, my crazy Uncle John, and Paul. You know, Paul always pats me on the head and brings me a present. My uncles, the Beatles. That's how it was, man. Well, here's another one off of Ram. Paul, keeping it bluesy and cool. Three legs.
Well, when I walk. Dog is here. Dog is here. Dog is there. But mine got one.
If that was the real Paul McCartney, I invite him. I invite Sir Paul onto the podcast, extending an invitation right now, worldwide, wherever he is, he might be listening, if he is indeed looking for that cutting edge. If he is indeed looking for somebody who's out there getting music online ahead of the curve. I was way ahead of the Beatles, man. I was way ahead of the Beatles. I sold more music online for more money than the Beatles had, man, for years and years. Of course, that all went away in about 1 second once they got on iTunes. So, they're ahead of me once again. But for a while, I was ahead of the curve. Well, if it was the real Paul, please come on the show, Uncle Paul. We'd love to have you here. And if it wasn't, I implore whoever was out there to come forward. To come forward, who left that message on my machine, and be heard from. Because I got a big kick out of it, man. And you had me going. Or did you? Who knows, man. That is our show. Thanks to Chance Ryan Brentham for coming out, catching us up on Clint Rippey. The film, man, he's going to be showing it here in April somewhere in Dallas or Fort Worth. At least a screening for friends and cast and crew and stuff like that. I will be there with bells on, looking for myself. Some of my music looks like it's going to be in the film somewhere here and there. So look forward to that. Email me, Phil at philpritchard.com. I need to hear from you guys out there. Tell me I'm doing good. Tell me I'm doing bad. What you need to hear on the podcast. Feedback, feedback. That's what we run on here. That's what we run on here in the independent music world. So let me hear from you out there, folks. Thanks so much for listening. Call to book the band, 817-733-5256. Also, if your business would benefit from advertising on the podcast, I'm being perfectly serious, give me a call at my number, philip@philpritchard.com. Only something I'm interested in, though. You know, no underwear or anything like that. But, you know, if you're selling good barbecue or tamales or boots or beer or something like that, something I could benefit from and speak well about, something I already love, then by all means, give me a shout. That's our show, folks. Be good to each other out there. We'll see you next week. Much tougher.
I look high, I look low, I'm looking everywhere I go. Looking for a home in the heart of the country.
Dream.